Hi, welcome back. You're listening to That Classic Rock Show with Jim Samari and Mark Plotnick on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM. Our next song is 8 Miles High by The Byrds, which critics consider the very first psychedelic rock song. It was written by band members Roger McGuinn and David Crosby with former member Gene Clark. The song is about a plane flight and not drug use, as most people thought. Listen close and you can hear musical influences of John Coltrane and Ravi Shankar. Here's 8 Miles High. What I love about that song is the beautiful harmonies blended with Roger McGuinn's 12-string guitar sound. Just an amazing, amazing sound. The Byrds were formed in L.A. in 64 and are considered one of the most influential bands of the 60s era. They continued their rock journey through the years and were early pioneers of country rock. They also progressed to psychedelic rock on their Fifth Dimension album. Fabulous band, fabulous artist. Mark, what do you got for me?
All right. The singer of our next song has admitted to a narrow vocal range, but within that range, she was as good as there was. Grace Slick was not the original vocalist for the Jefferson Airplane when they formed in 1965, but her charisma, good looks, sardonic humor, distinctive voice made her one of the first female rock stars. Grace wrote White Rabbit in her previous band, The Great Society. This hallucinogenic anthem was inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and the Miles Davis composition Sketches of Spain. If a Salvador Dali painting could be made into a piece of music, this song would be it. So let's feed our heads, as Grace said, with the Airplane's White Rabbit. Okay, have we fed our heads, as Grace asked. White Rabbit was one of the first songs to sneak drug references past radio censors. In interviews, Grace said parents were unaware that many books read to us as kids had drug use as a subtext. She cited Peter Pan and The Wizard of Oz as examples. The Jefferson Airplane were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996 and is the only band to have performed at all three major rock festivals of the 1960s, Monterey Pop, Woodstock, and the tragic Altamont Free Concert.
Our next song was originally done by the Supremes, the Motown classic You Keep Me Hangin' On, which was written by Holland Dozier and Holland, who wrote most of the songs for Motown. They had over 400 songs, with over 40 being number one hits. One thing that the Vanilla Fudge liked to do was take other people's work and put it into their own. And that's what they did with You Keep Me Hanging On. The song's sound is created by Mark Stein's psychedelic organ intro and Carmen Appice's energetic drumming. It's a phenomenal song, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight.
We'll be right back. can do about it.
That was You Keep Me Hanging On by Vanilla Fudge. You just heard the 3-minute version, the single version. On the album, it's over 7 minutes long. So if you want to take a little bit longer trip on the Keep Me Hanging On song, that's where you got to go find it, on the album. Their band's original name was The Pigeons, and they changed their name to Vanilla Fudge on the advice of a fan because their sound was like white soul music. Vanilla Fudge influenced many, many bands after them, Led Zeppelin, Uriah Heep, and Deep Purple. They actually joined forces with Jeff Beck, at least Tim Bogart did, in Carmen Appice, and formed the band Beck, Bogart, and Appice. It was a very short-lived band. But the band still tours today, Vanilla Fudge, that is, with Appice and Stein still playing. Mark, what do you got?
All right. We get to talk about one of my favorite bands, Cream. Cream was known for their lengthy improvisational performances on stage. But our next song illustrates the band's sophistication in the studio. White Room is one of Cream's most enduring pieces of music and demonstrates Clapton's mastery of the wah-wah pedal. The music to White Room was written by Cream bassist Jack Bruce, but the allegorical words were written by poet Pete Brown, a frequent Jack Bruce collaborator. The song's surrealistic lyrics reflect Pete Brown's state of mind at that time. And the White Room was a room in his apartment and not a mental ward that some people surmise. From Cream's 1968 number one charting album, Wheels of Fire, here is White Room.
Beginning. I wait.
the party. She was kindness in the hard crowd.
White Room was produced by multi-instrumentalist Felix Pappalardi, who played violas on this song. Following Cream's breakup, Pappalardi teamed up with guitarist Leslie West to form the band Mountain. As a quick side note, Eric Clapton is still the only musician to be inducted 3 times into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
In one of their most innovative songs, the Beatles wrote I Am the Walrus. I Am the Walrus was actually written primarily by John Lennon, even though Paul McCartney gets a co-writing credit, which was part of their agreement. Lennon was pretty much influenced by Procol Harum's song, A Whiter Shade of Pale, and Lennon decided to make his lyrics odd to confuse listeners who were always dissecting his lyrics and taking them too seriously. Some lines came to him while he was on an acid trip. Some lines are borrowed from a playground rhyme Lennon and his pals used to sing. Pay attention to this song because it just goes in so many different directions. I love it. I Am the Walrus.
I'm
The genius producer of the Beatles, George Martin, arranged that song and added violins, cellos, horns, and clarinets. He also had a 16-voice choir. And two friends of the Beatles, Ray Thomas and Mike Pinder of the Moody Blues, added some backing vocals. Mark?
Okay, and we cannot end this show without playing something by Jimi Hendrix. Even before placing Needle on Vinyl, the Are You Experienced album cover puts listeners on notice that their musical sensibilities were about to be tested. In the song of the same name, Jimi Hendrix forewarned listeners with his lyrics, and I quote, "You probably scream and cry that your little world won't let you go." And then he asked, "Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have, and let me prove it to you," unquote. The band then segues into the most otherworldly instrumental break that had ever been put on vinyl at this time. So now, here is Are You Experienced by the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
If you can just get your mind together, then come on across to me. We'll hold hands and then we'll watch the sunrise from the bottom of the sea. But first, are you experienced? Or have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. I know, you probably scream and cry that your little world won't let you go. But who in your measly little world are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and can't be sold? So, are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. Let me prove it to you.
Long before Jimmy became a phenomenon, Hendrix was a sideman for Little Richard, Curtis Knight, the Isley Brothers, and others. But it was the Animals bassist Chas Chandler who helped Hendrix reach critical and commercial success. He brought Jimmy to England, where he dropped the jaws of England's reigning guitar gods, helped finance his first single, and put together the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Even to this day, Jimi Hendrix is usually at the top of the list of greatest rock guitarists ever.
Well, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Please join us each week for the songs from the greatest era of music. We are on every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Please let us know what you'd like to hear on our program by emailing the station.
Our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, is available on Amazon. You can view Jim's website at jimsamariaphoto.com. Join us on Facebook. You've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU LP 101.5 FM.